Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. And thank you for sticking with us at the reading of God's Word. That is a long passage, verse 33 through verse 58. But folks, we need to remember what the Scriptures say about death and what the Scriptures say about resurrection. Over and against, sometimes we have to put it against what tradition teaches and what Paul warned against the teachings of man and against tradition and vain deceit. And the verses in the Bible that we've been going through week after week now plainly state that the dead, you know, they are not thinking. We're going to look at some verses here in review. The dead are not thinking. There's a non-awareness. They're not, you know, folks, people in the grave are not thinking, worrying, cursing the Lord, praising the Lord. They're not loving, they're not hating, they're not speaking, they're not doing anything to celebrate God or hate God in any way or any shape or any form. What they are, as we'll see in the Scriptures, they are all silent. They're completely unaware. It's a non-consciousness. Take a look, first of all, and Deb, if you can hear this, let's go to Psalm 31, Psalm 31, verse 17. Psalm 31, verse 17 says this: Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. There you have the state of even the wicked in the grave, being silent in the grave. That's Psalm 31, verse 17. And thank you, Deb. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. It says this: Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. You know, folks, and that's where we're all going, unless the Lord comes back for us and the Lord appears and we're going to appear with him in glory and people are going to be raised to be with him. Folks, we're all, you know, we're all faulty. We're all going to go to the grave one day. And that's what we're going to have in the grave, is that there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where we're going to go. Take a look at Psalm 146. Psalm 146, and let's take a look at verse 4. It says this about man: His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. There's no consciousness in the grave there. The very day that we die, our thoughts perish. No more activity there. Ecclesiastes again, back to chapter 9 in Ecclesiastes, look at verse 6. It says, also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Just up in verse 5, it says there that the dead know not anything. And it says even their hatred, their envy, no matter what kind of thoughts they've had, it's all now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Well, some people may object to that and just say, well, it's just that these folks now are not productive in the life here and now, you know, on the earth. These folks are now unproductive. Well, that's not the case. Look at Psalm 6, verse 5. That is a very moot point, and that's a straw man, because it doesn't hold up in the light of all the Scriptures. Psalm 6, verse 5 says this. Psalm 6, 5 says, For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? So there's even the case of how a person is in the grave. Psalm 30, verse 9. And folks, I'm just quoting Scriptures. I'm just letting the Scripture teach. And you know what? Folks, check these verses out in context. I've said every lesson here, don't believe me for what I say. Believe what the Scriptures teach. Read all these verses in their context. And give me 1 second, folks. Okay, thank you for your patience, folks. The last verse we looked at was Psalm 30, verse 9. Let's go on to Psalm 88. Let's stay in the Psalms for a minute. Psalm 88, verse 11. Psalm 88, verse 11. And welcome Jay, Barbecue, and Barnabas to the room. Thank you for being here. Psalm 88, 11 says this, "Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction?" So there's not wrath or praise in the grave. There's not hate or love directed towards God in the grave. There's a non-awareness. Psalm 115, Psalm 115, verse 17. Here it is very clearly. "The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence." That's as clear as it can be. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. Isaiah 38, 17. Let's look all the way through verse 19. Isaiah 38, 17 through 19. "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Amen. "For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee." That's who can praise the Lord. The living, he shall praise thee, "as I do to this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth." Job, let's take a look at Job. Job chapter 17 and verse 13, all the way down to verse 16. Job 17, verses 13 through 16. "If I wait, the grave is mine house. I have made my bed in the darkness. I have said to corruption, thou art my father. To the worm, thou art my mother and my sister. And where is now my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it? They go down to the bars of the pit, when our rest together is in the dust." That's what Job knew and talked about under inspiration of the Holy Spirit there. It's written down that Job expected to return to dust, just like God has told us all through the Scriptures. And so there's a non-awareness we see in all these passages. There's a non-awareness, a non-consciousness in death. And you can look at all these verses yourself. If you didn't get them all, it's Psalm 31, 17, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, Psalm 146, verse 4, Ecclesiastes 9, 5, and 6, Psalm 6, verse 5, Psalm 30, verse 9, Psalm 88, verse 11, Psalm 115, verse 17. In Isaiah, we looked at three verses, Isaiah 38, verses 17 through 19, and Job, we looked at three verses there. Job 17, verses were 13 through 16. So we have death in the Bible shown to be non-awareness, non-consciousness, and nobody's loving or hating the Lord. And repeatedly in the Bible, a figure used for death of a saint is sleep. And in the Old Testament, there's even uses of sleep for the unsaved. And we want to take a look at some verses in the Old and in the New that include the word sleep in them when they're talking about death. And, you know, the reason is that we die is because of the wages of our sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And death is a state of non-awareness. Those verses all show that, and there's many, many more. And, you know, there's many times where the Bible refers to people's death as sleep. And the choice of the word sleep is pretty good in the Bible because, you know, really it conveys sleep-like characteristics, you know. And when you're asleep, you're helpless. You know, somebody can just come up and shoot you. You're not aware. You're in a helpless state of unconsciousness, especially the sleep, any of you have ever had surgery and you've ever gone under the needle in surgery, I mean, you don't even dream. You're just there, and the next minute you wake up in the recovery room, hopefully. But it's totally helpless unconsciousness. And you know, if God didn't want to use sleep for unconsciousness and non-awareness and death, it would be kind of weird if God intended us to understand death as being, you know, a very alert state of mind, a very wakeful state of mind. That wouldn't fit. But God chooses his words exactly as he did. Let's look at Deuteronomy. Starting Deuteronomy this time, Deuteronomy 31, and let's take a look at verse 16. Deuteronomy Deb 31, verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whether they go to be among them, and will forsake me, and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Take a look also at 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 7, verse 12. And we are going to the New Testament, folks. We just want to lay the groundwork that God laid in the Old Testament. 2 Samuel 7, verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and will establish his kingdom. I will establish his kingdom. Going now to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 2, and look at verse 10. 1 Kings 2, verse 10. Talks about the death of David here, and it says, So David slept with his fathers, and was buried in the city of David. Job 7, back to Job. Job 7, verse 21. Job 7, 21. And why dost thou not pardon my transgression, and take away mine iniquity? For now I shall sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. There's Job wishing to die, and he didn't think he was going to go to Abraham's bosom. Folks, Job knew he was going to go sleep in the dust. And we're going to see some interesting verses in Job. We're going to get into these things here. Back to the Psalms. Look at Psalm 13, verse 3. Psalm 13, verse 3. It says this, Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. That's what the psalmist calls it there. He calls it the sleep of death. In Daniel 12, verse 2, it says this, And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame, and everlasting contempt. Back to Job. Look at Job chapter 3. We could have stayed in Job, but let's look back at Job chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 this time. Job said this morning about his own life and that he was ever born. Job said this, Why did the knees prevent me? More like saying, Why did my mother's knees receive me? Why did I ever sit on mama's knee? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breasts that I should suck? You know, why did I ever get born, sit on mommy's knee, and sit at the breast of my mommy? That's what Job is saying there. He's feeling bad. We know what Job went through. For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept. Then I had been at rest. Job is wishing for death before he was ever born. That's what he wished would have happened, that he would have been stillborn. And he calls it sleep. And he calls it rest. Look at Psalm 90. Psalm 90, there's some interesting verses here. Psalm 90, verses 3 through 6. Psalm 90, verses 3 through 6. And I hope you're looking at these verses, folks. I'm just quoting the verses. You look at them in context and decide for yourself. Thou turnest man to destruction. There's a word we've been talking about, destruction. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. Folks, this thing of sleep is a common theme in Scripture. You know, the verses say that we're like grass. All flesh is the grass. You know that verse too. We are like the grass that perishes. And back to Job, we want to look at Job. I passed up a portion in Job. It's Job 14. And let me turn there. This I wanted to say for this point, because Job tells us something interesting in Job 14, and we're going to start in verse 7. This is a larger passage that we're going to deal with here. But these are part of the subjects we need to deal with. Job 14, start in verse 7, Deb, and we're going to go all the way down to verse 15. Look at what he says here. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But look what happens to man, verse 10. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. Now, there's an interesting part right there of that verse we're going to get into. Till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past. Folks, one day the wrath is coming, and then when it's past, there's going to be a resurrection. That thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait, till my change come. Job knew he would get a change. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thy hands. Folks, man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. That's a time. You know, if you look down, well, let's go with what we started with. 1 Corinthians 15, and just one verse there, if you'll post verse 52. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. There's when our change is going to come, folks. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. It says this, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's when we're going to be changed. That's when the Bible tells us we're going to be changed. That's when we're going to put on immortality. That's when we're going to put on incorruption. That's when we're going to put on immortality. That's when we're going to be living again. That's when we're going to have our eternal life. Let's take a look also at I want to look at John 11 now. I said we'd go to the New Testament. Let's go ahead and go to some of the verses in the New Testament. We're going to come back to the Old. But you know, in John chapter 11, where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, and we're going to talk about another Lazarus in our coming studies, and I think you folks know where I'm going with that, the story of the rich man and Lazarus, about the only passage that people would use in the Bible to state that there is awareness, speaking, consciousness, things truly after death. We're going to see what that's all about in the weeks to come. So this is just whetting your appetite for that. Look at John 11, and Deb, we're going to start in verse 11, go all the way down to verse 14. John 11, 11 through 14. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. There's that word sleep again. But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And here's, let you in on the disciples, see if they have a clue as to what he's talking about. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. It's like, Lord, if he's sick and, he needs a nap, let him sleep. That'll be good for him. But verse 13 clears it up. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep, you know, natural sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. You know, it's quite clear from the words of Christ that death is, you know, he likened it to sleep. And that, folks, resurrection, when Christ raised Lazarus from the dead, at least for this temporary life, resurrection is likened to awakening. Christ says, I'm going to awaken him. He was dead. You look down in verse 44, verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. So Lazarus was clearly dead. It wasn't just Lazarus' body that was in the grave. It was truly a dead Lazarus. And when we go further on into Acts and the epistles, even after Christ's resurrection, and after Christ is gone to be seated at the right hand of the Father during the Acts period and in the epistles after that, that passage of time, those events don't bring any change to the way that men are referred to by God to be dead. Those people who died after the ascension of Christ are just also as dead and as sleeping as any of the other ones in the Old Testament. And, you know, the sacrifice of Christ, Christ's once-for-all sacrifice in his resurrection, didn't make a difference. It didn't have immediate effect on death of people right away after Christ went to the Father. You know, when Stephen died over there in Acts chapter 7, he was killed, Acts 7. Take a look at Acts 7, verse 58. Look what they did to Stephen. Acts 7, 58. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Incidentally, there's a good verse for the deity of Christ. Stephen was calling upon God, and he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And what happened in verse 60? And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And look all the way, I'll just keep going to chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. You know, Luke, writing under inspiration in the book of Acts there, says that Stephen didn't go to be with the Lord. Stephen didn't go and end up in total bliss with the Lord. What happened? He died. Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles, etc., etc. So here's a verse where we see clearly that Stephen fell asleep, but what he did was he died. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 again. The great resurrection chapter. People need to spend a lot of time in 1 Corinthians 15 and these other passages who believe in the traditional viewpoint of awareness and consciousness after death. They need to understand that we have to put on immortality. We have to put on incorruption. 1 Corinthians 15, 6 talks about Christ after he was raised. It says, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Now what do you mean, Paul? Aren't those all that died or after Christ was raised and, you know, was seen of 500 and seen of the apostles? Those people aren't dead, are they? Yeah, they're still dead. Paul tells us there in verse 6. Some remain. There's some folks around living. But some people are dead. He says some have fallen asleep. They haven't gone to be on with the Lord. That's not where they've gone to. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm getting into verses that weren't even in my study tonight, but here we go. These will fit. 1 Corinthians 4, 13 and 14. Look at the comfort Paul is trying to give the Thessalonians here. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 and 14. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And Lord, what we have a lot in Christianity, all of us, many times, we're ignorant. We're ignorant of truth. We're ignorant of the Word of God. Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, you know, which are dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Does Paul say in the next verse, because they've gone on in their spirits to be with the Lord. They're abiding with Christ right now. They've graduated. They've gone to a better place. Is that what Paul says? No. He says in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in other words, if we believe the gospel, and that is the simple gospel right there, not a gospel of works, just the belief, faith in that Christ died for us and rose again. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. God is going to bring those unto himself. So let's take a look now. Let me get back to some of the verses I was going to capitalize on and look at in the Old Testament. Job expected a change at an appointed time. Back to Job 14. I want to get back to that. Job 14, verses 13 and 14 again, Deb, if you can post that. Thou wouldest appoint me a set time. Job 14, 13 and 14. And remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait, till my change come. That's what Job waited for. And Job also said, oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret. Job's life is kind of like a type of ours. You know, we're hid with Christ from God. When Christ appears, we're going to appear with him in glory. But that passage there, verse 15, says, thou shalt call, verse 15, and I will answer thee. Just like Christ typified it on this earth when he raised Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. God is going to call us home one day. God is going to call us unto immortality and incorruption and eternal life with him, folks, someday. This is when we get it. Thou shalt call and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire. It's God's desire to bring his children unto himself, unto the work of thy hands. Just as the case is of Lazarus, the dead are raised by Christ calling. Look at John 5. Look at what Christ himself said in John 5, 28 and 29. John 5, 28 and 29. John 5, 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, or judgment, or condemnation. So, there we see from Christ himself. We looked at the verses in Lazarus, in John, where Christ is raising Lazarus. Let's move on. Let's move on to Acts again. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And look what it says here. In Acts 13, verses 36 and 37. Acts 13, 36 and 37. This is Paul's sermon, and he says this: for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. David was returning to dust. And verse 37, but he whom God raised again, Jesus, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. Not all that believe and tithe, not all that believe and get water baptized, not all that believe and speak in tongues, not all that believe and do good works, not all that believe and take communion, not all that believe and join the church. No. Paul clearly says here that by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So there's a clear testimony from Paul there. Back to Acts chapter 2. Let's see what Peter has to say. Did Peter believe that all the saints who died before and Christ had been raised and are now in the presence of the Lord? Acts chapter 2, look at verse 29. Acts 2, verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Look down at verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Their patriarch David. Christ even is said to be the son of David, through the line of David. You think Christ would have raised him? Surely he would have brought him with him, right? No. Peter says there, full of the Holy Ghost, earlier in the chapter it says, David is not ascended into the heavens. David is the one who saw corruption. Look at, and by the way, this message is preached weeks after Christ ascended. And folks, it says there in verse 29 is David is dead and buried. We saw about Stephen. Let's take a look also at 1 Corinthians 15 again. We're going to be there a lot, it looks like. 1 Corinthians 15. And this time we'll look at verse 16 all the way down through verse 21. I tell you, a lot of people, all of us, I'm preaching to myself here, we need to spend a lot of time in 1 Corinthians 15. This tells us a lot about the dead and a lot about resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to start in verse 16 and go all the way to verse 21. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only have we hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept, or of them that have died. It says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Folks, it's very clear. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And get this in verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Folks, if you're a Christian, God doesn't want you to be ignorant. And folks, you serve a God who is going to even destroy death. Everything that contaminates this universe, everything that's impure, sin, death, all those type of things, impurity, God is going to destroy all of that, and God is going to give us a pure universe to dwell in and praise God forever. He's even going to destroy death. Can we say amen to that? I hope we can. Take a look now at 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's see what Peter says in his epistle here. An interesting verse in 2 Peter chapter 3, just verse 4. Let's just look at verse 4. We don't have to read these first few verses of that chapter. 2 Peter 3, just look at verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Peter considered the patriarchs and the fathers of the Jewish nation to still be dead, awaiting a resurrection. They had returned to dust, folks, and they were still awaiting a resurrection. Things had been continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. The fathers had fallen asleep. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, here we go again, even so them which sleep in Jesus, verse 15, them which are asleep, verse 16, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Not comfort one another with the words that, oh, they've gone on to the glory. No, Paul says comfort one another that there's a promise from God of a resurrection, a glorious resurrection, where we're going to put on a glorious body. Where we're going to put on incorruption. And folks, our hope is resurrection. We're going to talk about the destruction of the wicked next week, and our glorious hope, resurrection. Now, the return of the Lord is what we're looking for, folks. We've seen verses about sleep, death. That's when our great family reunion is going to happen. That's when we're going to be all together. Nobody's beating anybody to the punch. There's not people who have been there in heaven for thousands and thousands of years ahead of you. And when you die, you're not going to beat anybody there. You're not going to beat us there if you go first. We're all going to get raised in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. When Christ appears in glory, there's going to be an instantaneous appearing of us with him. That's one aspect of his coming, and Christ is going to come, and he's going to take all the saints to be with himself. Resurrection is what we're looking for. And that's going to be a returning to consciousness after a period of sleep, after a period of non-consciousness. And if you look at Daniel 12:2, there's an interesting verse in Daniel 12, verse 2. It says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So that's where people sleep. They sleep in the dust. And back when we read 1 Thessalonians 4, Deb posted there, You notice how it says the people are asleep in the Lord. They're not asleep with the Lord. They're not up there with Him. The people are asleep in the Lord. And we look forward to a resurrection. Take a look now in John 11 again. John 11, and let's look at verse 24 and 25. John 11, 24 and 25. We're going to have to wrap this up. My tape's running out over here. John 11, 24 and 25. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Christ could have corrected her right there and said, oh no, Martha, don't you know after I rise on the third day, he'll be with me? I'm going to bring all the Old Testament saints and lead them all home with me. Jesus could have corrected her right there. Martha said, you know, look, I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection at the last day, Lord. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He's going to live one day in the resurrection. Let's go with Psalm 17:15. Psalm 17:15, and we need to wrap this up. Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake. Psalm 17:15. With thy likeness. That's what David was going to be satisfied with, folks. I will behold thy face in righteousness. I'm going to be satisfied when I awake. When I see your likeness. When I see your glory. I'm going to be satisfied seeing thy likeness, your glory, Lord. David indicating he expects to see the face of the Lord when he awakes in resurrection, not during the time when he's sleeping in death. Go to Psalm 6, verse 5. Psalm 6, verse 5. I don't know if we opened this, This might have been one of the first couple of verses we opened with. But reiteration sometimes is good to really hammer home a point. Psalm 6, verse 5 says, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? David the psalmist. It's not until David knows that he's going to awake from sleep that he's going to be able to behold our Creator's face, people. And let's finish, I guess where? 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to finish in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to read a rather lengthy passage, but let's read verses 10 through 26. 1 Corinthians 15, 10 through 26, and then we'll close with that in prayer and we'll open up the room for comments and questions. 1 Corinthians 15, 10 through 26. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. thank you for the word that brings light to the subjects that we look at. Father, I pray that we've looked at these things with an open heart and an open mind, and we allow your Holy Spirit to work, not man's wisdom, not our personal human reasoning, but your wisdom, your Spirit, your truth to work in and through us. May these things edify us, that you're a God of grace, you're also a God of justice. And Father, we thank you that we're going to have a resurrection one day unto immortality, and we're going to be with you forever, Father. We look forward to that day. In the meantime, Lord, we give you praise and thanks for Jesus Christ, our Savior, and in his name we pray that the glory may be all his, and we get the joy. In his name we pray. Amen.